In the book of 1 John, chapter 5, at verse 10, he that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. The book, the blood, and the blessed hope. The Christian life is the happiest and most exciting life in all the world. No group on earth has the joy, the freedom, the peace, the contentment, the satisfaction, and the happiness that Christians have. We as Christians are happy to be alive. We are happy to serve Christ. We are happy to live for God. And yet we are happy when we die. Paul wrote, "To me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Death is the coronation day. Death is the crowning day for the believer. For the believer to die means for him to go forever to be with the Lord. Paul writes to the church at Corinth, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And again he wrote, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." My beloved friend, the world cannot defeat us, because we already have won the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. The world can't starve us, because we have the bread of life. The world cannot blind us, because we have the light of Christ. The world cannot put us out of business. We have a lifetime contract that is signed, sealed, and delivered by the Holy Spirit. The world cannot overcome us. We have already overcome through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The world cannot drown us. We have already come through the flood. The world cannot burn us. We have already passed through the fire. The world cannot unsave us. Our destiny is already settled. We are bound for heaven. The world and the devil cannot kill us, because we've already passed from death unto life. We are alive forevermore in the Lord Jesus. And the world cannot orphan us. We have our Father in heaven. We are the children of God by faith in the redemptive work of Christ. Therefore, we can never be orphaned. The world cannot throw us into hell, because our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven. The world cannot hold us down, because one day, beloved, we're going up. We are going up when the Lord Jesus Christ comes to rapture his own. Every born again, blood washed, blood bought child of God shall be raptured out of this world and into the presence of God. All of our happiness, all of our security, all of our boasting, all of our doctrines, all of our theology, all of our beliefs center in three things: the book, the blood, and the blessed hope. And that's my subject for this hour: the book, the blood, and the blessed hope. Let's look first at the book. The Bible is a marvelous book. It is a magnificent book. It not only contains, but it is the very Word of God. We believe that all Scripture is inspired of God. We believe the Bible is the Word of God from beginning to end. It's a book of drama, a book of history, a book of prose, a book of poetry, a book of prophecy. It's the only book in all the world that embodies the great principles of truth. There's not a principle on earth that is not found in the Word of God. We are happy today to report to you that we believe the Bible and we accept the Bible as the infallible, inspired, inerrant Word of the living God. We hold the Bible up against all other books, because there's no other book in all the earth like the Bible. It has been described as the yellow pages of a divine human economy. It tells us who, it tells us what, it tells us where, it tells us when. The Bible contains, among other things, the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, and the doom of sinners. This book tells you about the Lord Jesus Christ, who was born of a virgin. This book tells you about the Savior who died on the cross. This book tells you, and this book only, about the Savior who was raised from among the dead, who ascended back into the glory world, and who is one day coming again. What a book is the Bible! I'm glad we have it to read. I'm glad we have it to study. I'm glad we have it to live by. And thank God, I'm glad that we have it to die by. You see, when men come down to die, they don't call for Einstein. They don't call for the great works of Plato or Socrates or Aristotle. Men call for the Word of God, because only the Bible can tell us where we came from and where we are going. Yes, this is the book of all books, the Bible, the Word of the living God. And right in your own heart today, you can have the Word of God implanted by the Holy Spirit. You can have the Word of God written on the pages of your heart as you open the door of your heart and allow the Holy Spirit to write indelibly the truth of God's Word, the Bible. And then the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. In you as a human being, there are approximately 5 quarts of blood pumped by your heart throughout your circulatory system every 23 seconds. The red corpuscles and the white corpuscles are busy. The red to give you energy to build your body. The white ones to fight off the infection that invades your body. Herein is your life. Without blood you cannot live. The Bible says in Leviticus 17:11, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood." But my friend, look at the blood of Christ. Peter writes in his first epistle, chapter 1, "For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Christ, as the Lamb without blemish and without spot." Every page of the Bible is stained with blood. Our first parents sinned, and blood was shed to atone for their sins. Under the law, blood was sprinkled upon the mercy seat to make an atonement for Israel's sin. The only approach from God to man is through blood, and the only approach from man to God is through blood. The word blood is mentioned in the Bible 421 times. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, has the greatest power of anything in all of heaven and in all the earth. No wonder we sing, "There is power, 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 wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb." There's a redeeming power in that blood. Paul writes in Galatians 3:13, "Christ hath redeemed us from the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree." In Ephesians 1:7 we read, "In whom," speaking of Christ, "we have redemption through his blood." What about the law, someone asked? Can't the law redeem us? Cannot the law save us? Absolutely, emphatically, no. In Romans 3:19, Paul makes it very clear. "Whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and that all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified." In the book of Galatians, chapter 3, at verse 24, Paul writes, "The law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we may be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster." In Hebrews 2:9, Paul writes, "But we see Jesus made a little lower than the angels, crowned with glory and honor, that he might taste death for every man." Yes, the redeeming power is there. Someone wrote, "In vain we search for peace with God by methods of our own. Dear Jesus, nothing but thy blood can bring us near the throne." Then there's an atoning power in the blood of the Lord Jesus. On the Day of Atonement in the Old Testament, October the 10th, the high priest went into the most holy place. There he sprinkled the blood of the sacrificial animal upon the mercy seat to atone for the sins of Israel. But I want you to know today that our Lord Jesus Christ, our high priest, has gone into the heavenlies, and there once for all he has sprinkled his own blood upon the mercy seat, having obtained eternal redemption for us. In Hebrews 9:22 it is written, "Without the shedding of blood there is no remission." My friend, today if your sins are ever atoned for, they must be atoned for in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way. Then there's a cleansing power in the blood of Christ. In 1 John chapter 1, we read at verse 7, "The blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, cleanseth us from all sin and unrighteousness." Note the word "all." Somebody says, "Well, God can forgive that sin, but God cannot forgive that sin. God can cleanse this wrong, but God cannot cleanse this awful sin." That is not true. God can cleanse all sin. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth from all sin and unrighteousness. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. In Isaiah 1:18, God says to us, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." The songwriter wrote it, "There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stain. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day, and there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away." Then there's a forgiving power, again in Ephesians 1:7, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin." Then, my friend, there's a preserving power in the blood of the Lamb. In the days of the Passover, when God warned Moses that he would pass through the land of Egypt, and he would smite the firstborn in every home, and only where there was blood applied to the doorpost would the firstborn be spared. When I see the blood, I will pass over thee. And beloved, when God's death angel of worldwide universal judgment passes across the earth, those who are hidden and covered by the blood, God will pass over. In John 10, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father who gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." We are preserved forever in the blood of Christ. Then I look in the third place at the blessed hope. During the dark days of Britain's history, Dr. Billy Graham visited Mr. Churchill, the discouraged and disheartened Prime Minister of that great country. He asked Dr. Graham, "Mr. Graham, do you have any hope for the world?" And Billy Graham took out his New Testament and said to Mr. Churchill, "Mr. Churchill, this book is full of hope." Mr. Churchill turned to Billy Graham and said, "Would you please read me some passages?" Dr. Graham said, "I read for 30 minutes the hope that we have recorded in the pages of God's Word." Then Mr. Churchill said to me, to Billy Graham, "Thank you, young man. You have given an old man a renewal of faith for the future." I want you to know today our blessed hope is not in Washington. It's not in Moscow. It's not in the stockpile. It's not in Wall Street. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. I read in Titus chapter 2, "For the grace of God which bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, godly, righteously in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." Look up, Christian. Christ is coming. Our blessed hope is in His soon return. I have this footnote and I shall be through. If the time comes when you lose faith in men, in methods, in institutions, and in governments, remember this. You can always believe the book, the blood, and the blessed hope. Until next Lord's Day, at the same time, we wish you well, and the blessings of God upon your home, upon your life, upon your family. And as always, we admonish you to keep on praying.